Anyway, again, apologies for my absence caused by pneumonia.
It was the semester break.
The semester break. Everybody went to Eilat.
Skiing and traveling for the holidays.
Right. I assume that in the weeks that we didn't have Shir, you were all reviewing, so we're all caught up.
Absolutely.
Or is it worth rewinding?
In any case. With you on another 1 week.
So go back to the two dots. Samach Zayin Omer Aleph. The Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Vav Omer Beis, the Mishnah that starts the 10th Perek, is about this din of Hafarat Nedarim of the Nara Amiruasa. You have a Nara who's 12 and a half years old, and 12 years old, and the father marries her off, and while she's mu'ureset, but before she's fully married, so in that in-between period, so the Mishnah says that you need a co-signer on the check, that the father and the Arus, what the Mishnah somewhat imprecisely calls the Baal, he's not really yet fully the Baal, he's the betrothed, which is of course more than what we today call a fiancé, right? We talked about this last time, I think.
I think it's the Baal in the sense that if they want to break it off, you have to give her a gift.
Right, but it's not technically, Baalut is only once they're fully married, when they're Ish for Isha. But it's true that they have a low level of kiddushin, but they don't yet have nisuin. But she's the arusa and he's the arus. But they both the father and the arus need to cancel the neder together, and one without the other is not sufficient to be mayfair her neder. This din is in the Mishnah. It is not, at least explicitly, in the Torah. At the beginning of Parshat Matot, the opening of Parshat Matot, is this din. And how you read the psukim there in Perek Lamed in Sefer Bamidbar will lead to this din of the partnership between father and husband in Hafarat Nedarim of the Nara Merusa. But the Gemara asks, Nara Merusa, this is in the middle of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Nara Merusa, Aviu Vala Mafirin Nidereha, Minalan. What is the source for this din? That's, I think I pointed out last time, that's probably a typographical error. In other words, usually when you have like a little snippet of a quote between two dots, that's a headline back to the Mishnah. Right? So just to remind you where the Gemara is picking up. But if you look at that line, it's not exactly a quote from our Mishnah. It's a summary, maybe, but it's probably the Gemara, the voice of the Gemara itself. The second set of two dots is probably a printer's error at some point. But so you have to read through. What is the source for this idea that you need the two of them together? So Omar Rabba says Omar Kra v'im hayu tiye leish v'nidareha aleha mikan l'nara amirasa shaviu v'ala mefrin nidareha. So if you look the psukim carefully, we can divide up the parasha into three sections. If you have a pen, you might want to mark it on the sheet. From Pasuk Dalid to Pasuk Vav, that's the din of, well, read the psukim. What is that the din of? not engaged. A daughter. A non-engaged daughter. A regular case of your daughter. If she makes a neder, the father can veto it. Then look at Pasuk 11, 12, and 13. What's that talking about? That's already in the husband's house. That seems like a full marriage. And if a woman vowed in her husband's house or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband make them null and void in the day that he heareth them, then whatsoever proceedeth out of her lips, whether it were her vows or the bond of her soul, shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord will forgive her. That sounds like it sounds like Charlton Heston. But, yeah, right. But, in other words, that sounds like a married woman. Mm-hmm. Married woman of any age. So look at Psukim Zayin Chet and Tet. The middle portion. What does that look like?
The problem here is, what does it mean in Hayoti Yelish? What does that mean?
Now, there's the pasuk says, "Ve'im hayoti yele'ish, v'nedareo aleha, o miftasfateha asher asral nafsha, v'shama isha," zot omeret ish shela, her husband, "v'shama isha biyom shamo, v'hechirish la v'kamu nedareha v'sereha asher asral nafsha v'yakub, v'im biyom shama isha yani ota," and if, when he hears it, the husband, he cancels it, Vehefiret nidra asher aleha, vet miftas vateha asher asral nafsha, v'ashem yislachla. Period. So what does that middle passage sound like? Zayin chet and tet.
Sounds like a married woman.
Sounds like a married woman.
But if you look at the further passage, they say, well, this must mean something else.
No, in other words, you have zayin chet and tet sounds like a married woman. Right?
But it isn't clear when she...
11, 12, and 13 sounds like a... married woman.
But from Zion, it isn't clear when she made the neder.
Why? V'im hayuti ele ish, v'nedere ele, o mitas fateh asher asra nafsha, v'shama isha biyom shamo.
Wait, and if you look at Zion, v'im hayuti ele ish, v'nedere aleha, so is that nedere aleha from before she was...
Yeah. So I see that while I was away, you were learning ahead. Baruch Shekivanta. The gang's all here. Yeah, see, this is like real, like there's pressure on tonight. Because I'm out cold, almost dead with the pneumonia. And then I crawl out of bed to come give the shiur. You can still hear how sick I am. So people feel the urgency to get here. So I appreciate that. I appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm even here before quarter two.
Yes, right.
So, matter of semantics, if you look at it, you could say in both cases she's married, but in the later case, right, so she's making the vow in her husband's house.
Mm-hmm. Which sounds
like the husband is there and he hears it on the spot.
Right.
And it's in the house. And in the latter case, it sounds like, okay, she made a neder and then the husband hears of it, but it wasn't necessarily in the house with the husband there at the time.
Or she had it before.
So,
either way, the husband doesn't care.
So, Rabba, Omar Rabba. So again, the Mishnah, the Gemara wanted to know, what is the source of this din that the Nara Mirasa, in this in-between period, you need the husband and the father to co-sign the cancellation. So Omar Rabba, Omar Kra, v'im hayu tiye le'ish. What pasuk is that? Zion, the beginning of the second passage. V'im hayu tiye le'ish v'nedare o'leo mikan l'na'ara ha'mi'urasa she'aviha u'ba'ala mefirin nedareha.
It's very strange because there's no reference at all to the father.
Because, right, it sounds like the pshat seems to sound like we're talking about a married woman.
Well, right. But again, we should be married woman. We don't know when she married the mother.
She's engaged to the father's not mentioning.
So look at the pseudo Rashi, which brings just more succinctly what the Ran at greater length says. La'ayel mihay ve'im hayu tiye le'ish la'ayel mihay kroktiv ki heini aviha ota v'ktiv ve'im hayu tiye le'ish vav mosif al inyan rishon. You see, Posuk Zayin, it begins V'im. What is the V in the V'im? To tell you an additional din about the Resha. Pardon me using Mishnaic terminology when referring to Psukim. The Resha here in the Psukim is the din of a daughter in her father's house. The Seifa, the third passage, is about a regular old-fashioned married woman, the old ball and chain. But the middle passage is an appendix to the Resha. The second passage, Posuk Zayin Chet Tet, is an appendix to Posuk Dalet Hay and Vav.
Just that every Pasuk here starts with a Vav from Dalet and on. But it's adding, I guess. Every
right, no, so they're all adding on to the din of a daughter in her father's house. Elama, a daughter in her father's house, can also be partially under the authority of the husband.
Is it a case where there's an existing reality that we know that this woman has a status and the Gemara's and the sugya is coming to explain how it relates to Nidareem, or is it this is actually defining that reality? If it's just a question of, like, we know that this woman has a status of being both in her father's and her husband's house, then it makes sense. You have to find a way to explain that scenario. But if it's something like, we didn't have this particular halacha, would we not think that she was...
As soon as you want to know, in other words, are we reading... In other words, Chazal had a din of the Nara Amurus, the Nedarim of the Nara Amurusa. And now they have to go and read it back into the Psukim. Which is what Rabbi is doing.
I mean, there are other issues also about the Nedarim, so not only about the Nedarim.
Correct.
So then if they have the reality, you know that there's three different statuses.
Okay.
You have to find a way to deal with it.
Well, you don't have to say that the din of Nedarim that there's a special sif about Nedarim.
No, you wouldn't have to have a sif, but you have to know what to do. And these Psukim would indicate there is a question, because you do have two different types.
I mean, there are three possibilities of the Nedarim of a Nedarim Rusa. Either you say she's, to call back to an earlier joke in the Zman, right? If you're only mostly dead, so then you can do something. In other words, what is the Nara Mursa? It's like being half pregnant. You can't be a little bit pregnant. You can't be a shtickl pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. Right? Normally we say you can't be only a little bit married. You're either married or you're not married. Elama, we have this weird window of the Nara Murasa. Do we say the Nara Murasa is essentially not yet married? In today's terminology, your daughter gets engaged, mazel tov, you make a lechayim, you try to figure out how you're going to pay for this whole damn thing, right? And you choose a date some point in the future, hopefully long enough that you can figure out how you're going to pay for it. What is her status in that in-between period? She's your daughter, right? You can still do the old, as long as you live under my roof, right? That must be your favorite line. That line never gets stated in the Krishna.
I just say by the time I count to three, leave it at that.
Right? So she's still under my roof, and so the Nara Murasa is not parallel to the case of the girl who gets engaged today, because engagement today has no halachic status. So is the Nara Murasa still essentially a pnuya? Or is she essentially an Eishes Ish? Is she Pnuya plus, Revaka plus, or is she Eishes Ish minus, or is she this weird Shatnez in the middle? And that would be the three possibilities, right? Either the father has the authority over the Nedarim, the Arus, the soon-to-be full husband, has the authority over the Nedarim, or as the Mishnah suggests, it's a hybrid. You want to say that it's a suffix? The Mishnah does not present it as a suffix, and that Havamina is not, is never entertained.
Right.
She's no longer in the
complete.
That would be an interesting, parallel universe sugya. The idea that the hafarat nadarim of a narim rasa is because of suffix, we don't know which of them, and therefore each can. But that would create an interesting phenomena, because let's say it was a suffix. Again, this is not the case. The Gemara does not entertain this possibility, to the best of my knowledge. So the father is mefer, and the husband is sheval tas, does nothing. So then her neder is what? Her neder is mufar besuffik. Maybe the father has the authority and he did cancel it. Maybe the father doesn't have the authority and it's irrelevant what he did. So how can she be? So what would be the case? She'd still be chayiv in the neder. But the opposite. Is it not in a mufar mitam suffik?
Well, in the end of the day, yeah. I mean, it's either the nether. You can have a suffik about what has to happen, but you have the nether is either that's binary. You can't have a suffik about the nether itself. It's either she has to do it or she can't do it. That's one. It has to be binary. So mitam suffik, you have to have both. You go just machmir for the thing.
Anyway, that havamin is never entertained, right? So, and go back to the Rashi. So. Vav mosif al inyan rishon, v'chi hechi da'av mevatel nedre bito, bizman shehi brishuto, achinami mevatel im habal kol zman shehi arusa, de'adayin hi brishuto. Right? That, in other words, she's married, in a way, but she's still under the authority of the father. So the vav in ve'im hayo tiyeh le'ish is coming to teach you that she can still be under her father's little girl, and already under the authority of the husband. And that's what the second set of psukim is coming to teach, according to Rabba, that you have this hybrid situation. And then posuk yud aleph and on is talking about
it's no longer hybrid.
It is no longer, and how do you know that?
Because he's in her husband's house.
In the husband's house. When she's in the Narim Rasa, she's not yet in the husband's house. So that's Rabba's. That's Rabba's opinion.
What if it's an Isha Murasa? What, in the time when they had the gap between Erusin and Nisrin, so would she? Who had the right? Was the father?
No. So then I think it's she's already to the husband.
It is the right.
Yeah, an adult woman who's Mu'reset before Nisuin.
Even though she's not yet in the husband's house.
I don't know. I think it's.
No, because if it's a question, then you could just say you wouldn't even have to have a whole thing with an armor. No, but
here the whole point. Right. The ema yutiyele ish v'nderele ema. So now the Gemara says ema haikra benisuaktiv. So the Gemara attacking Rabba's position says no. Maybe posuk zayin and on is talking about a regular married woman. Imishum nisua. Right, because isn't that what the pshat sounds like? This is how we left off 3 weeks ago. We were talking about your fond memories of Leining Parshat Matot, and the questions that jump out at you from from the psukim every time you lane, because there's a redundancy.
The high fever that you had must have, you know, affected your memory somewhat. But yes, it's exactly what we were talking about 3 weeks ago.
I have the recording. I can go check. The redundancy jumps out at you. The redundancy jumps out at you. So the Gemara says, well, what's the pshat? You read the psukim. You don't know anything about the Mishnah. You don't know anything. You're reading the psukim as if you heard them for the first time. You don't have Rashi. So what does it say? You get the pasuk Zayin. What do you think we're talking about? The pshat seems to sound like you're talking about a regular married woman, Hakmei Chinik, with this weird Nara Marusa. So it must be a Nara Marusa. Not like Rabba wants to read the Gemara. Not like Rabba wants to read the Psukim. But if that's the case, Kra Achrina Ktiv, V'im Beit Isha Nadra. So then you have the redundancy. In other words, you want to read it according to what seems to be the pshat. But if you read it according to what seems to be the pshat, you've painted yourself into an interpretive corner where now you have a redundancy because you have the din of a married woman twice.
Wait a second, I'm not sure I see. I understand.
You start reading. You don't.
I'm in
Pasuk Zayin. Right? So you think that you're talking about a regular married woman, not this weird Nara Marusa.
Right. Or if you're thinking about that, then you have right.
So you read Pasuk Zayin, read Pasuk Chet, read Pasuk Tet, you're talking about a married woman. And then you get to Pasuk Yud Aleph, and it repeats what...
There's still always a difference in the Sukkim, because in Zayin, you always have this business of the fact that the Neder is already on her. Yud Aleph.
Right. But... you're talking about a married woman. So you want to split it and say, no, there is a difference. But before you split it, it looks like Pasuk Zayin, Chet, Tet, and Yud are a married woman. And Yud, Aleph, Yud, Bet, Yud, Gimel is a repetition of the din of a married woman. So so Rabba says that the second set of psukim is talking about Nara Marusa, and the third set of psukim is talking about a regular married woman. The Gemara says, why do you have to say that? Maybe... the second set of psukim is talking about a married woman. If that's the case, you don't have a source for the Nara Marusa. And if you don't have a source for the Nara Marusa, there's the Havamina here. The Havamina of the Gemara is maybe you don't have this din. Maybe there's no makor for this. This is a Havamina. We're going to reject the idea. But maybe
Mishnah says has no source.
Right.
That's one possibility.
Right.
But if the Mishnah has no source, what's the repetition for?
Bidyuk. So then the Gemara says so. Krach rinaktiv ve'im beit ishanadrei ema travaihu benesua. So maybe say that both sets of psukim are talking about married women, that we don't have a din of the Nara Marusa. Why would the Torah repeat the din of a married woman twice? Why would you have the redundancy?
Because if you look at the psukim, right?
Yeah.
So there's a difference in the pshat. One says on whatever day he hears it, and the other time it says when he hears it.
So now you're splitting the hairs, which is what the Gemara is about to do. But on the surface, the first set of psukim is talking about a daughter in her father's house. The second set of psukim is talking about a married woman, and the third set of psukim is talking about a married woman. So either the second set of psukim is not talking about a regular married woman. According to Rabba, it's talking about the Nara Marusa. How do you know that? The Vav is telling you that the second set of psukim is an appendix to the first set of psukim. It's a din about the first set of psukim. The first set of psukim is about a daughter in her father's house. The second set of psukim is the special din of a daughter still in her father's house, but who is mu'reset to a man, and therefore we have this. It would just be so much neater if the psukim said this din. about the Naramurasa. The Torah had the words to express itself. It just doesn't do it explicitly here, and we have to have a limud to figure it out. And then the third set of psukim is a regular. The Gemara says, no, maybe the second set of psukim is not about a Naramurasa, it's about a married woman. Ah! If the second set of psukim is about a regular married woman, so then what the heck do you need the third set of psukim for? Ah, maybe, answers the Gemara, the anonymous voice, maybe both of them are talking about a married woman.
In which case
the question is asked, why do you need two sets of psukim about a married woman? In other words, the problem with Rabba's pshat is that it doesn't exactly fit in with what seems like the pshat, and you have to kind of read between the lines. The problem with the Gemara, the question on Rabba, the Gemara's question on Rabba is, well, it's elegant, right? It seems to fit in more with the pshat of the psukim, but you're then led to the redundancy of two passages about a married woman. In which case, what do you have to do if you're the Gemara?
The difference between them.
You see this?
You have to split
the hair.
Can I ask a question without splitting the hair?
Well, why don't we see how the Gemara does it.
Yeah, there's something that I have a fundamental understanding. In terms of the husband's, the full husband.
Yeah.
In terms of his ability to be fair, a nether, does it matter when the nether was made? If she came into the marriage with the nether, okay.
I see that you didn't learn ahead.
I stopped at a certain point.
At this very point.
Well, does it matter when he hears it or not? That's the question.
V'chitei matrei krai b'nisua. When we say that both sets of psukim are talking about a married woman, lamali, why have the redundancy? She'ein habal mefer b'kodmin, to teach you this din that you all intuited, that the husband cannot be mefer her previous nedarim. When you marry her, it's as is. If she brings nedarim into the marriage, those nedarim stand, and his authority to be mefer nedarim are only the post-nuptial nisuin, but the nedarim that she brings in with the dowry, he has no authority over.
Or he has joint authority.
No.
He can't.
We're not talking about a naramurasa. Right?
I mean, according to the psukim, if he hears about it and says, right, take the second or the third set of psukim. V'shemai shaveh echarisha lohini yotzeh v'kamukon d'rabe choyisah sh'yasra v'ashayakum v'im hafer otam hafer yafer otam isha b'yom shemo kol motzeh svatel nidorea yisar nasher lo yakum isha aferam v'ashem yitlachla. So, according to that, as long as she comes into the marriage with Nadarim, he hears about her and says no, then according to the Pasuk, he can be mefer them.
No.
If she...
No, in other words, she'en ba mefer b'kodmin, v'lav m'mele shamat, the top of Samech Zayin on the base. Can't we understand that? Right, the leolam, Rashi says, the leolam im hayotiye atil na'ara hamirasa, t'i kide amarta de trevayu b'nesua lamali, lo lichtov ela beit isha lechudei. Ibois ema de havya kidushin, mashma. Ema av lechudei mefer ve'im kein v'asra yisar beit avia yaniota lamali hashta yesh lamar b'mkom arus mefer av lechudei shelo b'mkom arus miboya ema av lebaya arus v'arus lechudei mefer.
In other words, say that in either English or Hebrew.
In other words, If you have the din of the third set of psukim, right? V'im beit isha nadra. What is the lechol adayot? What's the third set of psukim? That she's married. Im beit isha. She's in the husband's house. She's fully married. So then the second set of psukim, v'im hayo tiye le'ish, is.
Engaged.
Well, it's miutar.
Okay.
Right? In other words, if both of them are talking about a married woman,
then the second
one becomes miutar. So what is that there to teach you? So ibois ema havyo, what is havyo? Im hayo leish. What is that verb hayo?
Future.
Well, it's the Hebrew verb to be. In marriage terms, it's a code word. What is it a code word for? For kiddushin. How do you know? What's the posuk that we learn that word means kiddushin? Who has a chumash? No, Hariat Mikudesh doesn't have a. Where do we learn the dinim of kiddushin from?
There's a chumash.
Where in the Torah do we learn the dinim of kiddushin? What is the prokim?
I should know this.
Yeah, fair. We learn the dinim of kiddushin. We learn the dinim of kiddushin. Yafeh. Parshat Kitetze. Parshat Kitetze. We learn many of the dinim of marriage, reverse engineered from divorce. So what's the pasuk say? Right here. Ki yikach ish isha uvala. You get married. When we learn kiddushin, we talked about this posuk and the gzeirah shava to maris hamachpela and marriage with kesef and one of the darkei kiddushin. But if you get married, it doesn't work out, right? In other words, you know, once upon a time, a boy met a girl, they fell in love, and they didn't live happily ever after, is basically what the pasuk says. V'yatz'a mibeito, she leaves his house, from which we learn certain dinim of gittin. They're learning gittin over there in the daf. V'halcha v'hayta le'ish acher. What does it mean, v'hayta le'ish acher? She's married. The verb to be in Hebrew is a code word for kiddushin. Right? V'hayo tiyeh le'ish posuk zayin. V'im hayo tiyeh le'ish is, the Gemara says, is a code word for, what does it mean by hayo tiyeh le'ish? That she's mikudeshet to someone else. V'hayta le'ish acher, married. So therefore, that's the source that the father can't be Mayfair alone. Right? Because she's already connected to the husband. So Manavshach, you end up having two of them in this partnership. So, and it's either the third source becomes miutar, or the second source becomes miutar. But you either come to it this way or that way. But either way, you have this idea of the partnership between.
So would you say that both of them have to be made fair?
Right.
Is it that the koach of either one of them by themselves is not sufficient?
Yeah.
Let's say father died.
Right.
Okay. And she makes a nether. No, she's still shamur asa. Does he have the power by himself to fail affair?
Yeah, so the Gemara late, the Gemara in the continuation of the Perek takes up this topic. Generally speaking, we say that a Nara Murasa, when the father gives her in marriage, then the father has rights. If the father's dead,
he could have given her in marriage and then died.
But if the father's dead, so then the brothers, assuming there are brothers, have authority, but their authority is different. It's not the same as the father's. But this will be a topic for later in the pair. I think we're going to end here, and we'll continue next week. Thank you.